Okay, thank you, ladies, for the wonderful time of worship. And I hope that you would really seek to appreciate what it means for us to apply our faith. You know, faith is something that, as what was shared, you know, is something that is most precious, most applicable, most relevant to the context of our lives, our challenges. And that's why we focus on faith so much. You just never know how life will hit you, how life will present its own fair share of difficulties, and so crucial for us to have the kind of faith that we've been trying to develop and grow so that we will be able to successfully overcome these challenges. Okay? Well, let's consider this afternoon's focus. And even as we look at chapter 12, and we've been talking about running the race, we're talking about how we are to look to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and we also looked at this idea of considering Christ as he sought to endure the cross, lest we ourselves become discouraged and disheartened. All right? Now, the next section of chapter 12 really has to do with how we would have to at times go through the chastening of the Lord, and how do we understand this idea of God's chastening? And sometimes when we talk about chastening, you know, it's something that we hope we will never have to go through. Hopefully, you know, that's something that we don't have to experience. And yet at the same time, how can we ever learn and grow if we don't learn what it means to be chastened? Okay, so in Hebrews 12, verse 5, we read, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." Okay? Now, and, you know, this is something that we really need to appreciate. Now, let me try and help you understand what this word really means. And in this passage and this whole section here, there are a number of words that are used to describe for us this whole idea of the chastening of the Lord. And first of all, we have the idea of, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." And this word, paideias, okay? Paideia, okay? And this word can be understood in two ways. First of all, see, the chastening of the Lord doesn't necessarily have to be punishment all the time. We always tend to think of it as punishment. You know, you did something wrong and you are punished for it. Now, it's not just the idea of punishment, okay? The idea of chastening really has to do, first of all, with training. It's important to appreciate the training of the Lord, that as a son needs to be trained by the father. So this word really is about how you need to be disciplined, trained, okay? And not necessarily something that is a punishment. Now, turn me to Ephesians. Okay? And in Ephesians 6, verse 4, we read, okay, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord," or the discipline of the Lord. Okay? So the idea of training is very important. So to all fathers, okay, this is, you know, now your children are slowly growing bigger. And I hear already you have to discipline your sons or whether it's your daughter. And it's important that you do that. You need to train. You need to discipline them. You need to guide them. Okay? And this is something that the Word of God does for us too. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. Okay? 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. And we read, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, okay, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All right? And this idea of instruction, okay, is the same word that is being used here. So, part of it really has to do with training. Okay? So we have to understand that when God does this work of chastening, doesn't necessarily mean it is punishment. Now turn me to Deuteronomy. Okay? Now this passage shows to us how there are times when God puts Israel through different circumstances so that they can learn. Okay, so in Deuteronomy 8, we read about how they had to be brought through the wilderness for 40 years. Okay, and it is to humble them. Verse 2, God led you all the way these 40 years in wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And he goes on to say, right, your garment did not wear out, verse 4, and you should know in your heart that a man, as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Can you see it? So the idea here is not so much as only punishment. It is to discipline. It is to train. It is to instruct. So I think that's one level that we need to appreciate and to understand. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. And now, of course, the other aspect really has to do with the idea of punishment. Now, going back to Hebrews 11, we read, right, it says here, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. So the word rebuke also adds on this idea of the chastening of the Lord. It talks about the idea of to admonish, to reprove. And there are times when you are wrong, then you need to be admonished. Okay? Now, it also goes on to say, for the Lord, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges. Now, this is the aspect of where there are times when pain has to be included. You need to scourge. Right? In fact, the word paideias, there's aspect of scourging also. But this is really more brought across in this word scourging. And scourges every son whom he receives. So if the child is naughty, so I was talking to Jermaine this week, and she was telling me, you know, Joshua can be very naughty, and he, you know, she has to scold him. The mother-in-law finds it very hard to scold because she finds him too cute. It's not scoldable. And, you know, like the bears, very cute. So you cannot scold. And, you know, so I thought, wow, that's funny. But, you know, as parents, you need to scold. You need to correct. You need to discipline. And you know what? God does the same thing with us too. And God has to chasten us. Right? And it's important for us to recognize that. Now, another word before we move on, and that is in verse 11. In verse 11, it says, "Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now, again, this idea of training, this word is a slightly different word. This is where you get the word gymnastics. Okay? This is where you get the word gym. It is really the word to exercise. Alright? So, there are times when the Lord has to help us exercise, to train us so that we can learn and we can grow as a result from this. We need to be able to see ourselves being trained. So this idea of chastening has to be understood in its proper context. Different words are used by the author of Hebrews so that we can appreciate what God is trying to do for us when he talks about chastening. And it's an important aspect of life. Okay? It is crucial for us to understand this. Now, let's just backtrack a little bit. Going back to chapter 5. And you see this idea of gymnazo is being used also in chapter 5, verse 14. And, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, right? That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Same word. Okay? And, you know, trained to discern both good and evil. You know, you ask a child now to decide what is good and what is evil, they won't know. Right? So, a child needs to be trained. A child needs to be guided. And same for us. We too need to be guided to discern what is good, what is evil, what is, you know, excellent from good, and so on and so forth, so that we would determine for ourselves what is the best thing for us. And sometimes we tend to think that this way or that way is the better way. But God would have to help us understand that that's not the way. And he has to train us or even to chasten us so that we would be able to recognize what is the right way. Okay? I hope that gives you an idea of what Hebrews 12, the author, is trying to bring across. Now, you know, this idea of chastening is really something that is involved in a relationship of love. Okay? It has to be in a context of love. Right? So in verse 9, we read, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect." Now that's very important. Right? I mean, all of us, we have been corrected by our parents, our fathers, one way or another. And I think that's important. Right? This is a physical relationship. And we've been corrected before. And it's out of love. And out of respect for our fathers, we learn to listen and we learn to follow. Right? I'm sure the fathers are already having challenges with your daughter. Elvin, do you find challenging to... Not yet. Yeah? Already? Yeah, right? So, you know, for her to be able, you know, to hear you, to listen to you. I'm sure Hong Wei has many challenges. And, you know, already at this age, they're already, you know, taking... you can see how strong the will is. And they won't listen. They will want their own way. And you keep telling them, you know, and they do understand, right? To some extent, at least time. But there will be a point in time in which you have to cane. Right? When do you think that time will be? Primary school? Wow, maybe that's too late already. Well, yeah, that's the challenge, you see. When do you cane? Or when do you punish? Right, that's the challenge, you see. Already Pastor is really saying about how Maddie and, you know, Evie, they are being disciplined already at this age. Don't wait too long, okay? Primary school, I think, is a bit late. you need to bring in the rod. And you need to bring in the staff. Right? You need to correct. And it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful on your part. It's going to be painful on the child's part. But absolutely necessary. I still remember my father caning me many, many years ago. And, you know, when my brother and I, we cheated on our Chinese tests at tuition. Well, my tuition teacher brought every, you know, two of us and then plus our, you know, script to my father and, you know, revealed it to my father. And for the next half an hour, my father chased us around the house. You know, we were running around and trying to avoid him. But finally, of course, we got caned. You know, you don't forget, no? After that, we never cheated anymore, really. So it's effective, okay? Let me tell you, it's very effective. Some of you may not have been caned before. Well, I mean, some of us are different. But, you know, for us, we needed to be caned. Okay? So you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Right? This is something that you really need to learn. And, you know, and it's absolutely necessary. Because when we are corrected, now, for us, for me, of course, there is also a pastor as our spiritual father. And he corrects us. Over all these years, you know, 40 years, he has corrected us a million times. I think my brother probably 2 million, you know. But, no, not really. We kind of share, you know, the same. But, you know, he has corrected us many, many times. And I really thank God for that. Because that's how I learn. I needed to be corrected. I needed to be corrected concerning my life, concerning my direction, concerning even now my work. There are times when he has to correct us again and again. And it's very humbling. I know that not every one of us, you know, we feel comfortable about being corrected. There's the sense of pride. There's a sense of, you know, we feel that we are right and so on and so forth. And I can tell you this, if we take that kind of approach, we will never learn. We will always be about our own ways, thinking that this is the better way, thinking that, you know, we are right. And, you know, end of the day, you are no better. Learn what it means to take correction. Learn what it means to humble ourselves. You know, pride to me is a very dangerous thing. Pride to me is a thing that would stumble you, to cause you to... You know, I remember once Pastor had to correct this, many years ago, this lady who was writing a play for one of our dramas, you know, in church. And you know, she did it, wow, you know, she's more of those arty-farty person. And, you know, she wrote this play and Pastor tore it apart. He literally tore it apart and told her, you know, this is something. And she was so upset. You know, this is my handiwork. You know, and Pastor just, you know, told her there were so many errors, so many difficulties, so many things that she needed to change. And after that, you know, she was so upset. After that, she left church. Why? Why can't you learn? And you know, sometimes when Pastor corrects me, there are times when I'm thinking, are you sure not, Pastor? But you know, he will always prove himself right. Because after that, subsequently, I realized, hey, yeah, correct. So, I you know, this is because We know what is right, you know, when somebody corrects you. It is because out of love. And I know this is Pastor's way of showing love to us when he corrects us. Because he wants, you know, you to have the right thing, the better thing, to consider what is something that God will want for you. And that's what God does for us. You know, it's important for us to see this spiritual relationship. Look at verse 6. He says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Okay? God loves us, and that's why he corrects us. He corrects us through life. You know, there are times when we have to be corrected because we have strayed. Turn with me to Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, verse 70, you know, it says, verse 71, it says, "It is good, right, for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Verse 66, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And also sometimes we were stray. Sometimes we would allow ourselves to go the wrong way. You know, God will allow afflictions into our life. And sometimes that's his way of chastening us. To rethink, you know what? Maybe I've been wrong. Maybe I've been going about, you know, the wrong way. I've been living my life according to the ways of the world. I've caught up with this, my work, with that. And, you know, it is not doing me any good. Someone wrote to me this morning and shared that, you know, wow, I've been caught up with so much work and so on and so forth. I've set my faith aside. And you know what? End of the day, it has not got her anywhere. What is the point? If we give our life to our work, our soul to our work, at the expense of our faith, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work hard. You should work hard. But you should also, as far as possible, with great fervor and strength, you apply your faith in the context of what you are going through too. You don't set aside your faith. You live out your faith in the context of the challenges that you have to face. You stay close to the Lord. But when you allow the things of the world to cause you to stray, then sometimes God will allow afflictions into our life to chasten us so that we would think about coming back to him. Look at verse 7. Okay? "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" Right? If a father does not chasten his son, then you know what? He is going to, you know, he's not going to be a good father. A good father must chasten his son. He must, out of love, out of a heart for the child, out of for the good of the child. Look, my father came, both of us, and both of us turned out to be pastors. So you want your children to serve the Lord? Cane them. Okay. Well, I mean, there's the challenge, you see. The challenge is, would you accept that kind of affliction? Would you accept that kind of chastening? Right? And sometimes when we look at our lives and, you know, we go about our own ways and things seem to be okay, everything is all right, and we look at verse 8. I think verse 8 is pretty scary. "But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." If somehow, you know, if you just go about your own ways and somehow God lets you, it doesn't mean that God is condoning or God is just, I can tell you this, that maybe we have no relationship with God at all. And to me, that is something that we need to understand. When God loves us, He will chasten us. And we all been through all kinds of chastening. I mean, I've been through all kinds of challenges in life too. Difficulties in life. Sometimes it's for our training. Sometimes it is for our chastening. But all are necessary so that we can learn. To learn what is the right way to live our lives. To draw closer to Him. To come back to Him. Right? Look at verse 9. Why is it that God will chasten us? Why does He do it? So in verse 9, going back to Hebrews 12. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? To me, that key word there is the word live. What if God's chastening, God's affliction, God's training is meant for us to live? To really live life. You know, we can go through life thinking that this is life. And it's really a deception. A deception of the world, a deception of wrong thinking, false thinking, a deception of human, you know, understanding of what life is meant to be. And we get all so caught up with those things. And I can tell you this, you have not lived yet. You have not lived at all. What God meant for us in chastening us and training us is that so that we can live, truly live this life as we are meant to live. And sometimes we need to have the understanding for our eyes to be open to the truth that God wants us to understand so that we can live. Seriously. And that's what it means. God intends for us to live. And that's why He corrects us. He helps us. So that we can understand what our life is meant to be. It is for our profit. Right? Verse 10. For indeed, for a few days, chasten us as seem best to them. Okay? But He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Right? Fathers would correct the children what they deem best for them. And, you know, it's absolutely necessary. But God does it for our profit. For our advantage. You know, we all tend to... The word profit here talks about the idea of, you know, that it is something that you would profit, something that would be advantageous to you. And oftentimes we tend to think that, you know, if we do this, if we do that, if we do things this way, it is to our advantage. That is advantageous to us if we follow this, we follow that, that we will benefit as a result. But far more than not, we actually harm ourselves. We, you know, so this Pokemon Go thing is, I don't know what it is, but it's just so much in the news. And, you know, people are just playing this game. There's this guy who is going to give up his job so that he will travel, don't know where, just to play this game. And it's just an illusion, you know. And of course, you got to give it to, you know, the company. What was the name of the company? Nintendo, yeah. You know, this is their coming back again, you know. Nintendo has been not doing too well, but, you know, somehow came out with this game. And people are so fascinated with it. They're playing it. And, you know, the thing is not there, but the thing is there. And why is this, you know, and this virtual reality. I mean, people are just so caught up with it. And to me, it can be deadly too. I mean, you can be walking around, the car can hit you or whatever. And you think that, wow, this is the way to live my life. This is advantageous. This is my, you know, it's profitable to me. And you know, you're just so wrong. You're just so caught up with this wrong perception of life. To me, when God corrects us, that is for your profit. That is what true profit is all about. That is to your advantage. And as I look back and how I see how God has helped me, and as I learn, I mean, there were painful moments, there were painful difficulties that I had to go through. But God was teaching me things. Teaching me what it means to be humble. Teaching me what it means to go beyond the material things of life. Teaching me what it means to see, you know, there are greater perspectives that we want to have in life rather than just the world's perspective. It is to our profit. And of course, verse 10, it says that we should become partakers of His holiness. We are meant to live our lives in holiness rather than our own ways. And God's chastening helps us to become holy. Why not? As God is holy, we should be holy. We partake of His holiness. We are created to be holy. The challenge is that many of us have many, many weaknesses and, you know, sins in our lives. And God has to deal with them. God has to deal with our sins. So as much as we don't want to allow these things, you know, the weights and the sins in our lives to ensnare us, we also have to recognize God has to deal with them. And if correcting us through affliction, if correcting us through His Word, if correcting us through someone who is willing to tell you that you're wrong, that you need to change things, then be humble enough to appreciate it and to recognize this is an area that I need to work on. Okay? Now, how do we respond to the Lord's chastening? Look at verse 5. In verse 5 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." The word despise means to make like. You know, it is to have little regard. That is what it means here. So it's to belittle the chastening of the Lord. When you choose not to listen, when you choose not to follow, if you choose not to heed that chastening, you are making light what God is trying to bring across to you. And to me, then that is when you have allowed pride to get a better of you and you actually end up rejecting what God is seeking to do. Tell me to Jeremiah. And I came across this verse as we were reading. As I was reading Jeremiah 2 and verse 30. Okay. And it says here, "In vain I have chastened your children. They receive no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion." In vain. See, that's something that we need to ask ourselves. When God chastens us, when we despise that chastening, when we belittle it, we don't regard it, we choose to reject it. You know, God's work of chastening has become vain. In vain, I have chastened you or your children, and they receive no correction. What is the point of that? You must learn. You must learn to listen, to be corrected. You know, so for Moses, Eugene, even for the bands now, you know what? You will have to go through lots and lots of correction. I mean, I had to go through a lot of times. Even you may be, you know, you grew up in Bethany and you learn a lot of things. Once you enter into the full-time ministry, there are lots of other things that you have to unlearn. Somehow you realize that, wow, just so many things that I have to unlearn about myself. I need to be corrected about my knowledge and so on and so forth. Because there's so much more that you need to know. And there will be lots and lots of sessions of time in which we have to be chastened. I'm not saying that all the time, but, you know, it's once in a while you go and meet pastor and you come out of it, you know, unscathed, that you didn't have to see red at all, and, you know, those are precious moments. Rare and few, but, you know, not all the time, okay? But yet, at the same time, it's necessary. So do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Okay? Now, go back to Hebrews 12. So, we don't want to despise, neither do we want to be discouraged. And I know, a lot of times we don't like to be corrected. Because we think, how come I didn't know that? I should have done that. I should have known better. I should be smarter. I should be better. I should be greater. I should be, you know, wiser. And end of the day, we all, you know, recognize, and then we feel discouraged. Why am I like that? I'm lousy. I'm no good. I shouldn't be this. I shouldn't be that. I shouldn't be doing this. Right. Well, I mean, look at it. We all need to be corrected. Why? Because we don't know well enough. I mean, many of you are, you know, starting out work, some of you, okay, a couple of years, but, you know, there's so much more to learn. Right? And along the way, we still need to recognize that, you know what, every time you learn something new, there's something that you have to, you know, relearn or to be corrected. Learn. Humbly we learn. You know, this week pastor gave the pastors, you know, new tasks that we will have to do. And, you know, it's challenging. But yet at the same time, we recognize that there's lots for us to learn and again to unlearn. And, you know, constantly there are many levels for us to grow in. And we need to be corrected. We need to, you know, because you're going to attempt things and then you make mistakes and you've got to learn. Well, learn. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes. In fact, you know, all the teachers that I know, mistake is the best. Besides my wife. Right? Seriously, we should learn. You don't get it, some of you. Do I need to spell it out? Mistake? Okay. Right? I think it's important for us to learn. You know? What's wrong with making mistakes? Learn from it. Grow from it. Be a better person out of it. Seriously. I've learned. I made many mistakes. And, you know, I learn from it. I grow from it. And I'm better for it. Right? Now, of course, you make mistakes, you learn from it, don't make the same mistakes again. Okay? If not, then you... Of course, we sometimes end up doing that, but, you know, it's important for us to learn. Learn from it. Not to be discouraged. Grow from it. Right? You know, so don't lose heart. Right? It says here that, you know, we should not allow ourselves, you know, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Okay? Think about the love of God instead. Now, this word, discouraged, is an interesting word. Now, just going back to verse 3. Okay? And in verse 3, we read, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged." So it's the same word. It is the word that talks about how you would become unloosed. Okay? So, is this word loose, and you when you are discouraged, you become unstrung. That's what it means here. Is you things become loosened and you lose heart, you become discouraged, become weak. This is the idea of the word discouraged. And it's the same word that is being used in verse 5. And he tells us not to become discouraged. Right? It's easy to become discouraged. We talked about this last week. And I think it's important for us not to allow ourselves to be discouraged. Learn what it means to find the courage to carry on. And find that, you know, there are times when we are told we are wrong, learn from it. Grow from it. Okay? Recognize that this is something that the Lord lovingly does for us. And we have to learn to endure. Okay? Learn to endure. Chapter 12, verse 1. Right? This word, hupomone. That we should lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let's run with endurance. Okay? And then in verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Okay? So, same word that is being used here. We need to endure, and we need to continue to endure. See, when he says here, if you endure, he's not saying that you only endure for the moment. This is the use of the present tense. It means you must endure and continue to endure, and you don't give up. You don't get discouraged. You don't give in. It's tough at times. But if you were to continue and endure on, then you will see that God will specially bless and you will be enlightened so much more as a result. Okay? And then in verse 9 it says, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? You know, I think the idea of chastening is something that we need to be ready to learn. And lastly, you know, we want to look at the results of being chastened. Verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Okay, there will be fruits of righteousness, and there will be peace. Okay? That will come to that. So, I think it's important for us to think about this. Learn what it means to accept being corrected. And, you know, I think the human nature is such that, you know, we are so full of ourselves, so, you know, proud of ourselves. We are here, we are this, we are that, that we really don't know how to humble ourselves before men, before God, to be chastened. And, you know, we are worse off because of that. I can tell you with, you know, from the bottom of my heart, that if not for the chastening of the Lord, if not for Pastor who has guided me and corrected me many, many times, you know, I wouldn't be able to live my life the way I am now and serving the Lord the way I am now. I hope that you would also recognize that and, you know, learn what it means to accept that correction that comes along the way, that training. We all need training. We all need to be corrected. We all need to be guided. So it's not just punishment alone. Okay? Chastening involves training. And we all need to be trained. Right? But somehow, along the way, if we do not listen, and we do not take to heart what is being brought across to you, oftentimes, it is life that becomes the teacher. God will allow life, afflictions in our lives to come. And then we have to learn it the hard way. But yet necessary to, you know, and something that is necessary for us to learn. And we learn it the hard way. And God chastens us because He loves us. So I hope that even as you go into your discussion group, that you will take time to think about this. It's not an easy thing for us to do, but yet at the same time, it is vital for us to appreciate what it means to have the heart of humility to learn and to allow God to chasten us, to allow different means in which God will bring about that training and correction in our lives. And I hope that you will grow so much more as a result. Okay, let's pray before we go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you will help us, even as we take time to consider this very crucial aspect of our growth in terms of our faith, at the times when you as our Father will chasten us, that you will train us at times, to help us understand what is the right way of doing things. There are times when you will have to allow afflictions and difficulties to chasten us so that we would be humbled and that we can truly learn what it means to live, to do that which is good and right, to do that which is holy in your sight. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us even as we take time to talk to each other. Encourage our hearts and bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go into our groups. YC's group, he is not well, so please...